look at your city, town, or its people the same way ever again. Stained by Blood, a murder investigation based upon a true story by private investigator Douglas J. Hagman. Using the character Mark Stiles, Hagman takes you on a journey behind the scenes where the homicide becomes a secondary to an underworld of satanic ritual abuse, child abduction, and even mind-controlled experimentation. A world dismissed as conspiracy by those who want to keep its secrets hidden, exposing the dangers, denials, and deceptions. For 5 years, a brutal killer remained on the loose, free to kill again. As Mark struggles to navigate the maze of bizarre twists and untangle a web of deeply hidden secrets kept by some of the most powerful and influential people in his community and beyond. You may never look at your city, town, or its people the same way ever again. Stained by Blood. Order your copy of this engaging novel today at HagmanandHagman.com and click on the link. Stained by Blood.
Welcome to this portion of the Hagman and Hagman Report. So proud to be a part of your lives. Ladies and gentlemen, you don't know how much it means to all of us or to us to be a part of your lives. And that sounds so, flowery, doesn't it? We don't really mean it. That's just something to say. No, it's very true. I was repacking some mugs today. We do, Hagman Report stores open. I was repacking some mugs and taking packing lessons 101. That's a long story. And I'm thinking to myself, we have such a great audience. We really do. We have just a wonderful audience, and we could not do this without each and every one of you. And I just want to say thank you. Thank you to each and every one of you who are listening. I want to publicly thank Global Star Radio Network for carrying us. I want to publicly thank BTR, Blog Talk Radio, even though perhaps you might think, well, the Blog Talk Radio, they host so many shows, and I mean, they play a part in all of this too. They do. You know, another person I want to thank is Michael Terrell, because he has done some things to revolutionize the way change my focus. Michael Terrell, in case that name does not ring a bell, and it should to regular listeners, it's a man behind WholeTonesLive.com, WholeTonesLive.com. He has developed a music therapy set of music therapy blocks. And Hagman listeners can get special deal. If you go to WholeTonesLive.com, check it out right now. I mean, tonight, today. If I didn't already have this, I'd say, boy, this would be a good Father's Day gift. Is Father's Day coming up? Or we still have a long ways to go. Anyway, yeah, but it's really cool. If you're having trouble focusing at the office or even at home, or if you're having trouble sleeping at night, or if you're having trouble concentrating, or if you feel tired and unmotivated, and if you feel like you're losing control of your life, try this out. Try WholeTonesLive.com. You've got really nothing to lose. You really don't. They've got these amazing musical tones that are found to relieve stress and promote healing and to break negative cycles. Now, this is not new age. And I get very tired of people who ascribe new age to biblical things only because that tells me the shallowness of their intellect when it comes to these kinds of things. Because God has given, God made me, God spoke the world into existence. There's a frequency of our world that's not New Age, that's just biblically based. Let's use those. And Michael Terrell found a way to use those, to put those together, to compile these frequencies for just that, for the healing and for the stress relief. That's God. I mean, that's really divinely inspired. Folks, you can get started today. You can listen to a free sample of this amazing music that heals and inspires at wholetoneslive.com with a W, W-H-O-L-E, toneslive.com. We have gotten so many emails, and I'd recommend too, if you are so inclined, to email Michael Terrell from Whole Tones Live and say, hey, this has helped me in this way or that way. Give him some feedback. He's receptive to it. But we've gotten many happy people who have written us. And again, we had Michael Terrell on our show, and if you want to know really the intricacies of Whole Tones, you can go back to those particular shows. He explains how the music was inspired by the music frequencies of King David. Folks, go to the website, wholetoneslive.com, wholetoneslive.com, download a free sample, and then go on and definitely order from there. That's wholetoneslive.com with a W, W-H-O-L-E, toneslive.com. Get it today.
Absolutely. Tonight and now, we are joined by author and radio show host Daniel Holdings. Go to danielholdings.com. You can get the all the information about his books. He's got a package deal. He's got the latest book, As the Darkness Falls, the second edition is coming out. He also has a book, 3 Days in the Belly of the Beast, the first episode in the Cooper Chronicles. And he has put together some fascinating work, writing fiction novels based on actual current events and what is unfolding in the world.
Faction.
Yeah, faction. Because a lot of what he's written as fiction, not only in the first edition of the book, but in the second edition of the book, are coming to pass. Daniel, I think last time you were on the show was last October, 2015. It has been a while. It's great to have you back on the show. How have you been?
I'm doing good, guys. Thank you so much for having me back on. It's always good talking to you. And yes, As the Darkness Falls has just been re-released in a second edition just last week. I feel like I'm coming out of a dark cave. It almost took longer to do the second edition than it did to pin the first edition. So it feels good. It's freed me up to do some other things that I've needed to do. But you know, I did catch the tail end of your first segment there, and Doug, I want to say to you, let the hijacking continue. Because I thought that your comments were so right on. It's particularly when you said, meaning you, don't know how much longer I have to tell you these things or how much longer you have to listen. And so, guys, you know, one of the things about going back over As the Darkness Falls, it makes me very cognizant of the time we were in. Because when I initially wrote that book, in 2011, and it came out in 2012, you know, the Lord just did a download on me. He gave me all this stuff, and I thought it was fiction. I mean, yes, I saw things, I had visions, I had dreams, people had visions and dreams, and he took me to some other scientific research, and I put them all together in this nifty story. And then stuff, as you said, Joe, started coming true. And so that really, you know, coupled with what happened out of the first book, because there was stuff in the first book that came true, I began to understand that these books were larger than just myself, larger than just a story, that the Father was trying to get his creation's attention. Okay, that was in 2011, 2012. Now, fast forward to 2016. Guys, the thing that really gave me pause as I wrapped up the editing of that second edition was how many things in that book are coming true right before our eyes. And that tells me, Doug, that there is not a lot of time. And we're going to talk about some of those things out of that book, some of the crazy stuff that I put in there as part of the story, and we're seeing it manifest right now. So, to your point, I think you were right on. I mean, I think the feeling that you have is a cross between frustration, because people will not wake up, and a cross between, I don't know, maybe desperation, in that we want to be good servants, right? Those that serve the Father and that are saved by His Son, we want to be counted worthy when we stand before Him, because we know that we're going to stand before Him one day. And so we want to be able to use every single millisecond that we are given on this earth to talk about Him. And so that's why I say, you know, continue the hijacking, because I think, Doug, you are right on in saying what you said in the comments that you said. But
Thank you. I just want to interject this. Joe, you know, said, boy, you could have been a little bit more on point, articulate, using Bible scripture, and I could have been. Indeed. However, I'm not, at times, I'm not a very articulate man, and I speak from the heart, not from a script. And if people don't understand what I'm saying, then maybe, well, you know, I'm sorry about that. But Daniel, thank you so much for your confirmation.
Well, you're welcome. And just to clarify, audience, Doug Hagman is going to be on my show with my co-host and I, The Remnant Road, on Monday morning. He's going to be live. It's Doug Hagman live on The Remnant Road. He'll be there for an hour and a half. We'll be talking about his books and some of the other crazy stuff that your career has taken you through. That's going to be on HebrewNationOnline.com, and you can hear him live there. And then it'll be on the podcast later. But I thank you so much for agreeing to be on. I'm really looking forward to the discussion, because I want to hear about your new book. I wanted to go back to something else you said in that segment just a second ago. You were talking about talking to people about the Lord and the necessity to do so. There is an absolute imperative that we do this, but the question is, do we do this to everybody? See, that's the question. Because the Bible that I read says this. It says that no one comes to the Father unless He draws them. And then, so what does that mean, Daniel? Well, that means that we have to be super sensitive to the Holy Spirit in order to know who to talk to. But that doesn't mean you sit back on your butt and talk to nobody. That doesn't mean you curl up in a fetal position and because you're scared and say, no, God hasn't directed me. No, that means you have, audience, you have to hear me, because these are the days that we are going into. You have to be on your face before the Lord. And you have to live a life of repentance. I didn't say repent, right? That's not what I said. I said live a life of repentance, right? Because, Doug and Joe, this is what happens. When we become Christians, this is what happens. We get a badge, right, a little button, and we put it on our shirt, and it says, I'm a Christian, right? I'm part of the club. I'm saved. I'm good, right? And that is how 99% of believers go through their life. Part of the club. But that's not what we're called to. We are called to a life of killing ourselves. I don't mean physically, right? The Word talks about dying to our flesh. And we don't do that. The Word talks about living out the fruit of the Spirit. Love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, self-control. And it goes on, and it says, against these things there is no law. Right? But we don't do that either. We wear a badge, right? The Word says, Paul told Timothy to study to show yourself approved. It didn't say be spoon-fed from the pulpit, but we don't study. We get spoon-fed from the pulpit, and we shine up our badge sometimes, says Christian, I'm a Christian, right? But it doesn't say anything about that badge. Now, how do you hear the Holy Spirit give you direction in order to know who to talk to about the gospel? Well, it doesn't happen all of a sudden. You have to train your ear. You have to continually talk to him. Paul said, I pray continually. Well, what's that mean? Is he always on his knees? I don't think so. I think he went through his day and he talked to the Lord. And the Lord talked back to him. So do we do that? Or are we just shining our badge? See, here's the thing, Doug. In these days, darkness is falling. And this was the message when I wrote that book. I knew, the Holy Spirit told me, that there was a day coming when the darkness would be so thick, only the light of the Lord would be seen in that darkness. And the light of the Lord lives in each and every one of us that have submitted his life to the Lord. And I said submitted, audience. I didn't say wearing your badge. Because your fruit, the fruit of the Spirit inside of you, will be evident in your everyday life. And it is that fruit that will give people pause when they come across your path. And they will say, I want what he's got. Why are you different, Doug? What is up with you? Why are you smiling? And nothing to smile about. People can get their heads cut off. They're starving. Well, why are you smiling? There's an opening. Or somebody is just hammered and they're weeping and they're crying. They've lost a loved one. Or there's bad circumstances in their mouth. And Doug can go to them and share with them. And they would receive what you have, because the fruit of the Spirit is evident in you. See, we're not only called to move our jaws, we are called to move our feet. We are called to live this life. And most believers today are not living that life. And all of us, as you so aptly pointed out, will have to stand before him very soon. And I, you know, I'm with you. I don't think the world's going to end. Right, my position on a pre-tribulation rapture is not unlike your position. Probably, I don't believe in a pre-tribulation rapture. I believe we're going to have to see some things, but we are called to be salt and light in a dying world, in a world that is growing darker by the day. Folks, you can't be salt, as in seasoning, and you can't be light, as in a brightness, unless there is something different about you. And that badge that we wear on our shirts is not it. This is a time to stop messing around. This is a time to see life as it really is. Because things are so quickly eroding all around us that the sands of the hourglass, the very last sands of the hourglass, we can see them coming out of that the top of the hourglass. And so we're going to talk about some of those changes, some of those things that are imminent, that are happening right now.
Yeah, let's do that, Daniel. But
well,
just real quick,
that,
if I can jump in, just to let you know, there. Before the interview started, we were talking about getting some static over the air. I don't know if there's a loose wire or what's going on, but we are getting intermittent static. It's tolerable, but just wanted to let you know that that was coming through. Here and there.
I
don't know
if
it's from your headset or what.
I have been told that I was a loose wire.
But the audio is crystal clear, aside from the static there.
That is real strange, because one of the things I just did is... when you lost me for a second, you didn't even notice I was gone. Todd took care of it. But I'd switched ports because I wondered if it was the other port on my computer, that it was, you know, the port on my computer that was causing this. But you're still having issues. Let me get rid of this. Maybe this is it. I don't know if that helps. I'll get rid of that. I don't know if that works. Is that, did that help at all?
No, we're still getting the feedback.
Yeah, it's more of a it's more like a crossfire. If you just try not to move, talk. I don't know.
No, we can roll with it and maybe reconnect at the top of the hour. Oh,
okay,
so let's get into it.
Yeah, go ahead.
You know, this is the challenges of living in rural America, because as you know, I've relocated to the rural area of Kentucky. And we get satellite via wireless, and sometimes this happens. I hope that the quality of the audio would be better though than the phone call.
Okay, whoops. I was going to say, however, you were just sitting just now and positioned just now, just freeze and talk because it was good.
Okay, well, I'll stay right here if at all possible, but my notes are over here, so let me reach over here and get my notes. Audience, don't you love live radio? This is live radio. We love live radio. Okay, let's get into this. Let me ask you a question, Doug. Let me ask you a question. Would World War II have happened if Neville Chamberlain wasn't the Prime Minister of England?
And I just re-asked the question to my dad as he had to rehook up his
Yeah, as
would
I was...
Would World War II have happened if Neville Chamberlain...
You know what? That's an excellent question, because I believe it would have, because it to me, it's never about one man. It's about... Well, it's about a number of things, but in that case, as it is today, it's about the God's prophetic time clock, and it's about more than one man. That one man might be a puppet, obviously, but if it wouldn't be for Neville Chamberlain, it would be somebody else. So my answer, yeah, probably.
Maybe, but I think it might have been over or minimized from the beginning.
Okay.
This is the reason I asked that question, is because just a few minutes ago I saw a headline that said that NATO is ramping up to their highest level of preparedness since the Cold War. And I thought, okay, that's kind of like preparing, closing the door after the cat is out of the house or something. Because you have a bunch of people that are in the office right now, that are in government right now, that has stripped down the U.S. military, that has debased the U.S. military, really, and changed the culture of the military from what it once was, and then they took away their guns. So for the leaders to all of a sudden say, well, wait a minute, Russia is really a serious threat and we need to do something about it. Let's meet in July and we'll talk about how to fix it. You know, I'm thinking, are you people? Well, let me just say that I read a terrific quote from Benjamin Franklin yesterday, and I probably saw this quote before, although I didn't recall seeing it. Benjamin Franklin said that we are all born into ignorance, but to stay ignorant, one has to try really hard. But to stay stupid, or to be stupid, one has to try really hard. And we got a lot of stupid people. Either they are absolutely ignoramuses, or this all is on purpose. This all is a plan.
You know what, Daniel? I believe that that we are being orchestrated into this, because when you look at U.S. troop levels and their deployment across the world, this 2016 Index of U.S. Military Strength that came out from the Heritage Organization. Now, numbers are numbers, okay? So whether it's Heritage or some other firm or group that brings them out, but when you look at this, the assessment of the troops and deployment tells me that this was a orchestrated and incremental reduction of forces to post World War II levels. I mean, immediately following World War II, there's a chart out there, and I can't put my hands on it right now. But our capacity, our capability, and our readiness have, in terms of U.S. military, are just incredibly low, and this I can ascribe to not just Obama, but the 8 years of congressional appeasement to Obama. So interesting.
Well, okay, now remember that word I just used, a plan. Is this stupidity or is this a plan? It could be a stupid plan, I suppose, but I happen to believe it is a plan. And the funny thing is, why am I talking about this? Because in As the Darkness Falls, I actually talked about the plan. And you might recall that. The plan that the elites had to bring about a new world order. And see, here's the thing. I was on another talk show yesterday, and I was asked the question, do I think that the... that the three big guys, Putin, Obama, and Wu, I think his name is, out of China, because of the superpowers. Do I think that they actually talk to each other, or they really hate each other and they're just going to go after each other? Because another headline I just read just before I came on the air was that China warns the United States that they are ready for a confrontation, and they're talking specifically about the area in the Pacific where they are kind of flexing their muscles and expanding their territory and all that kind
of stuff.
The
South China Sea. Yeah, exactly. South China Sea. Yep, yep.
So,
yep.
And my comment to him was, come on, honestly, you know, first of all, you think those guys don't talk to each other? And secondly, I said, I don't think for a second that those are the guys. I think those guys are puppets. But that's just me. I'm a cynic. I'm a, you know, conspiracy nut. I think somebody is pulling the strings behind the scenes and really is in the end game to format this one world government that they are looking to come about with. But it's the Hegelian dialectic. They have to cause a problem in order to bring the solution. What's the problem? We're going to get into finances in just a second, but what's the problem? The problem is they are going to bring about war. They're going to kill off a bunch of people, and then they're going to come in like the saviors to fix everything. But the world that we will see after that will be far different than the world we have now, even in its damaged state that we see it now. So here's the point, that there is not enough time to be dancing around the subject of who Jesus is. There's not enough time. There's not enough time to keep your mouth shut. Honest, are you hearing me? Okay. Doug Hagman, Daniel Holdings, Joe Hagman, or anybody else that supposedly has a microphone cannot be at your picnic. They can't be at your outdoor barbecue. They can't be at your kid's soccer game. You can, if you call Jesus your savior and your king. You can. So are you looking for the opportunity? Are you listening to the voice of the Holy Spirit say this? You know, look, you know, see. And look, people don't respond, for the most part, to preaching, right? They don't want to respond to preaching. But let's say that the couple that you were talking about, right? One of them has family problems with their family or whatever. That's an opening, right? You don't have to beat somebody over the head to share the gospel with them. But it does have to be the unadulterated gospel. You can't water it down. But there's a way to talk to them. And if you listen for the Holy Spirit, He will give you that opportunity. And as Paul learned, He will give you the words to say, even the most difficult circumstances. So yes, Doug, yes, that's the hijack scenario, and you are absolutely right in those things that you started talking about at the end of that last segment. But so why is it? Here's the question: why is it that we don't have enough time? What's going on, Danny? You guys are a bunch of fear porn mongers or something. You know, you guys just peddling this stuff, and you guys have been talking about this stuff forever. And nothing's happened yet. Really? Joe, has anything happened yet? Do you know if, the sky is falling. Do you know if anything is, justifies that statement? That things are going south? Is there anything happening right now, or is it just stuff that's going on in the future? What do you think?
I don't know. I would say not only that things are happening, but things have happened. And we are towards the end of our rope. As Russ Dizdar says, and I like this analogy the best, we are in a car that has driven off a cliff. We're just waiting to hit the ground.
I've never heard him say that, but that's a good analogy. So let's talk about that car. How are things so... You guys are just so... things are bad. Steve Whale, friend of ours. So depressing. Nothing's happened. He keeps talking about all this crazy stuff and nothing's happened. Okay, let's look at the facts. So for those of you, and your audience is awake, so it really doesn't do any good for me to be cynical with them because they don't know stuff that's going on because they listen to you guys. But let's look at some of the numbers. Let's look at some of the facts, okay? Let's look at the economic realm. Yeah, let's do that, okay? Because that's money. When it comes to money, we want to know what's going on, okay? So, There's a little thing, and I know you guys talk about such things, called the Baltic Dry Index. And you know, you may remember, I came out of the financial and economic arena. This is not like I don't know what I'm talking about. I don't talk about it a lot because, I feel dirty. I participated at one time, but, I do know a little something. So let's talk about the Dry Baltic Index. If you were to put a dot on a piece of paper, that dot represented you. Okay, and then you went far out on the edges of that piece of paper and you drew a circle, a concentric circle around that dot, right? But it's way far away from you. That's kind of like the Dry Baltic Index. This is one of those little boring leading indicators that keeps track of these shipping freight containers, audience, and that move across the high seas of the world. Now, why is that any concern to you, right? Well, they got a whole bunch, dozens and dozens and dozens of shipping freighters with empty decks, no containers on them, because they are not moving products. The dry shipping index crashed last year. And, you think that it couldn't go down any further. It is now in the toilet. It is in an all-time low, and people are stunned by how poorly it is doing. What they should be stunned about is that concentric circle on the edge of the page. Because let's assume for the sake of discussion that you saw a nuclear bomb go off, and it was kind of far into in the distance. It even took the noise a little while to get to you, right? So, okay, that was uncomfortable when the noise hit you, but when that concussion blast hits you, that's going to hurt. That's the Dry Baltic Index. That happens way out there on the edges of that paper, far from your little dot. But when it gets to you, you're going to know it. What are you talking about, Daniel? I got my Walmart has plenty of food. You guys are just scaring people now. No. Your Walmart has stock in the back room, and it probably has stock in warehouses, but the stock that they would normally move in from other parts of the world is not being moved in because those ships are empty. That's my point. That's a leading indicator. That's way out there. So then if you took a pen and you drew another circle around that dot, but you drew this circle would be a little closer to you, closer in that far edge circle. And you call that circle, and I forget the name of the index, but you call it the freight train index. I forget the name of it. But there is an index that keeps track of freight trains and the movement of these freight trains and the products that these freight trains are moving. Because on it, this is how we, for the most part, ship product around the United States is on rail. So, let's say for the sake of discussion, I think I hear that crackling in my own ear now. Let's say sake of discussion.
Just to let you know, and don't mean to interrupt, but the interference or whatever it is has gotten, it's pretty rough. I don't know if we can switch to a landline or if you have another headset or another option, but you are getting cut off in what you say pretty frequently. Just to let you know.
Well, I'll tell you what. Why don't I call you right back? I'll call you right back on the phone, or Todd can call me back on the phone. And Todd,
Is that the number we talked on? If you want to send that to Todd via Skype. Okay.
Yeah, no, that's fine. That number there.
In the meantime, that's fine. We'll drop you now, and then in the meantime, we're just going to sing some songs together and hold hands and
Kumbaya. Try that. Sing Kumbaya.
Yeah, it's been a long time, brother, and I don't think anyone out there wants to hear me sing. I'll tell you that. All right, folks, we're talking with Daniel Holdings right now, and I would urge everyone to visit his website, and certainly his books are very unique in the fact that, in fact, I had given a friend of mine his series, and what his books are, much like I like to relate it to what I did In fact, perhaps I even copied that from him. It's kind of an introduction into current events, where my book, Sustained by Blood, was my experience, and then showing people, laying it all out. I was a slow learner, basically. I didn't realize that there was a, you know, system within a system within a system, and there's this deep, dark secrets out there. His books offer the same kind of initiation into this, somewhat, at times, dry topics. You know, you can hand someone the book, The Illuminati. It's a huge book. It's by Johnny Cerucci, I believe his name is. And it's an excellent resource manual. But his is written in a novel format. And it's pretty cool. I mean, it's an interesting book. It has a lot. And I have to say this. His information in those books, when he initially published them a couple of years ago, from ISIS to where we are today, is coming to pass. So, you know, it does break the ice. It breaks the ice. Breaks the ices. So he's a talented writer, and most assuredly a talented, or a very good set of books, a good series of books. And I would urge everyone to visit his website, support him, and certainly grab a hold of his books and use them as tools to pass out.
Absolutely. And we have Daniel back with us.
I am back, guys, and I'm sorry about that. I don't know what's going on with the headsets, but, you know, it's one of those things. Okay, before I go back into what I was saying, let me just say something. I want to do something for you and your audience, and, if you want one of those books or the package, whichever, if you want multiple books, it doesn't matter. What I have done is I have, if you go to my website, and it's only on my website, danielholdings.com, and I don't have any control over Amazon or anything. I have a control over my website. And you purchase any of those books, what I have done is I have put a coupon code in the system for you so that when you go to checkout and you put in the coupon code of Hagman, then it'll give you another 15% off of those books. And those books are actually already discounted off of Amazon and other sites anyway, but it'll give you another 15%. So I do encourage you, not because it's about slinging books, but because that stuff is happening right now, and there's some stuff in there that you need to know. So please, by all means, visit the site and put in the coupon code of Hagman at danielholdings.com, and that'll give you another 15% off. But guys, what I was saying before I got cut off was that, you know, if you drew another circle around that dot and you put this circle a little closer to you, but it's still a little further out, and you call it the train index, what you would find is, I read an article just a couple weeks ago that said that the freight train index is in the toilet as well. That there are, dozens and dozens of Union Pacific trains in full train yards gathering dust. And so what does that mean, Daniel? You know, there's okay, whatever. No, what that means is those are the trains that bring stuff to your Walmart or your Kroger or whatever the case may be. So, okay, you're not feeling the pinch now, but are you getting the picture? One more index. If you drew a circle a little closer to you, this is almost right on you now, and this circle would happen to be the index that keeps track of semi-truck builders, right? And what we have found is that these semi-trucks are not being built now because those semi-trucks cannot build. I mean, they cannot sell those trucks. Those companies cannot sell those trucks. So they stopped building them, which means that they're not moving freight across the highways either. So if we were to take a step back, you see the far concentric circle out on the edges of the paper from your dot, and you see another one, and then you see another one very much closer to you. Folks, do you get the picture? See, we... I know you all know who Jim Woolley is, and Jim Woolley came out and said a couple of weeks ago that he thought that the economy was going to crash by mid-July. And you've had several people, pundits much smarter than I am, that have come out and said that they didn't think the economy was going to make it beyond October. So, do you think this is Chicken Little stuff? Do you think this is the sky is falling stuff? No. Joe, in answer to the question that I asked you, do we have evidence? This is the evidence. These are numbers. The yes. numbers don't lie.
That's right.
So, okay. So what's a guy to do? Well, we're going to talk about what you can do. But the first thing that you better do, the first thing, and Doug, to your point earlier, you better get on your face. You better repent. I'm talking to Christians. I'm talking to believers, right? We're not called to repent one time. Raise your hand in church and say, I'm good. You're not called to wear a badge. You're called to live a life of submission as a disciple, to die to your flesh, to show the fruits of the Spirit. That's the first thing that we should be doing. And we can talk about some of the physical things that you can do in a little bit, but the point is that there's no more time, Doug, just like you said. You don't know how long, folks. I had this discussion with a host of another show that I was on yesterday with. He said, Daniel, we got to have you back. I don't know how much longer we got. I said, you know, at the very least, I don't know how much longer the airways will stay free. You understand? Because what is coming next is not this. What's coming next is a totalitarian environment that is anything but free. You know, I told you I was on a show yesterday, Joe, and it was a good show, and a pretty big show, a popular show. And I did a lot of things.
John B. Wells, right? He's a friend of our show, and we've done airtime with him, and he's been on our show, and he's a good friend of ours. He's got a great audience and covers a variety of topics.
He's a great guy, and I said a bunch of stuff on there and stuff that people didn't want to hear. I am not kidding you. A helicopter buzzed my house last night about 12:30, and it was low. I mean, I'm sure it was hovering. I'm in rural Kentucky, right? They didn't come looking for me. But, folks, this is the thing. There's not a lot of time to say the truth. There's not a lot of time to give the truth out. Because the environment is changing. That is where we are. So, Joe, when you were talking to me about, you know, what I want to talk about tonight, I said, I want to talk about the truth. Let's talk about the truth, and let's not mealy-mouth around it. Let's not dance around the truth. For once, let's grow some intestinal fortitude and deal with the truth head-on, okay? So here's a little bit of truth for you. When we look at the season we were in, and I'm not talking about the season I was just talking about, the economic season, I'm talking about the political season that we're in, right? We are being given a choice of two candidates for the most part. I mean, Bernie Sanders, you know, keeps screaming that he's still in the race, and yeah, he's not going to get it. I mean, it's Hillary Clinton, for crying out loud, right? But so you have Hillary Clinton, who by the way, and you guys must have seen this because I saw this, words come out that she might want to have Bill Clinton as her running mate. Can you imagine a Clinton and Clinton White House? Wow. Man, that would be something. Anyways, okay, so it's Hillary Clinton, right? Now, set aside all of our history with Hillary Clinton, right? We all have opinions, but set it aside for a second. Just look at her on the face of who she is, right? Assuming that she's the nominee. And then look at the other guy, Donald Trump. Okay, everybody is excited about Donald Trump. I mean, they're excited. All right, Donald Trump is the new Reagan. Guys, I served under Reagan. That's what people are saying. I served under Reagan. Donald Trump is not a Reagan. Yeah, I want to say, well, I won't use that line, but what Dan Quayle was hit with by what's his name. I knew so-and-so. I forget who he was talking about. But people are saying that Donald Trump is the new Reagan. Let's the truth. I'm giving you truth, whether you like it or not. Is Donald Trump the new Reagan? Okay, let's look at this for a second.
Okay.
Donald Trump made his money in the casino business and then in real estate. He's a businessman. They tell him he's a businessman. But he was a casino guy first, and then he was in real estate. And I don't know if you've ever been in, around casinos, but they're not the nicest places. I like blackjack. I'm not knocking playing the slots or anything. I'm just saying, if you're going to make a living there, that's an ugly place to make a living. And that's gotta do something to you. That's got to make you somebody. And then the other side of this is that if you ask Donald Trump, a question, he is the greatest thing to slice bread. He's a narcissist. But that's the choice. So you have Hillary Clinton or you have Donald Trump. Now, okay, here's the point. Do you think for 1 second, audience, that either of those people could run for president if they weren't pre-picked to run for president? Honestly. Think about this for a second. You don't get to play in that sandbox unless you're part of the club. And if you look back to history, you look at the various presidents, that the presidential nominees that ran against each other, they were all related to each other. Those guys, that lady, I should say, and that guy are two sides of the same coin. This is a system. And you are being given a choice from bad or worse. What kind of choice is that? And I just told you that I didn't think for 1 second that the people that ran the country, the face of the country, or the people that ran the country, that it's people behind the scenes running the country. And if you don't believe me, ask yourself who won that election in 2008. The numbers pointed to Romney, and yet, Obama won. And Hillary Clinton was ahead when she ran against Obama. She was ahead, and yet she lost. And the look on her face when she came out was, wow, I can't believe that happened. You know, when Clinton, Bill Clinton was in the office, and people were saying, we need to fix the country. And then, George W. Bush got in 2000. And then we won Congress, or maybe just before that. So we held a majority. They didn't fix anything. They didn't fix anything. Doug, you know doggone well what went on with 9/11. They didn't fix anything. In fact, it almost got worse. And then Obama comes in, and it gets really, really terrible. Really terrible. I did a show. I was a stand-in host for somebody else on another network. And I mentioned that Obama has dished out, and this was last year's count, 923 executive orders. The one closest to him was George Bush, and he had dished out like 36 or something like that. Obama has changed the face of this country, and not in a good way. And now we are given a choice between Hillary Clinton, the criminal, or Donald Trump, the narcissist. Come on! I mean, really, we're talking about truth here. Guys, we are being set up. This is a system. And I am choosing to withdraw my consent. I am choosing to get off the hamster wheel. And I will not be part of the rah-rah crowd. Because, guys, you've read my books. I've already said that I didn't think Obama was going anywhere. If there's a crash this summer, and if war breaks out, there will not be an election. And yet, we are so distracted by that stuff instead of being on our faces, instead of crying out to God. We're just caught on the hamster wheel. We're running, running, running. going to get better. It's going to get better. It's going to get better. Folks, and the funny thing is the Bible told us this was going to happen. I am telling you what will happen after this season that we're in is ugly. It is ugly. And the world that emerges out of it, it will be unrecognizable. And we have been set up here. This is where it starts. Actually, it's already started, but this election. Because you're not being given a choice. I want to believe. If I was to vote, right, I'd vote for Donald Trump. I want to believe he can fix it. Now, the Republicans had Congress. They had the president. Didn't fix anything. Guys, this is a hamster wheel. It's a system. This is where we are. This is true. The question is, will you accept the truth for what it is? Or will we make excuses? No, Daniel. No. There's got to be some solution. What are we supposed to do? Withdraw your consent. Get off the wheel. Where do I get that phrase, that withdraw your consent? That's actually in the Declaration of Independence, I believe, to withdraw our consent.
Interesting.
This is not what we think it is.
Well, you make a couple of great points here. Number one, I talked about this the first hour. I kind of hijacked the first hour in the sense that, you know, Donald Trump himself, we're getting close to the top of the hour, but to me, a lot of people are focusing on the man and not the movement or not the collateral effect that Donald Trump is having. Because it's certainly easy to talk about Trump. It's certainly easy to isolate his, how many marriages he's had and, you know, all of his immoral points. And you had brought out too where, you know what, you operate a casino. Believe me, a casino is not the same as a logistics company, okay? There are two different environments there. Being a CEO of, we'll say, a logistics company or of a manufacturing plant is certainly a whole lot different than being a CEO of a casino. And the real estate business as well. I mean, if we really want to get down into this, because of the... when you're building commercial property or handling commercial property, and I don't want to get too far into it, since we're coming up on the top of the hour here. But if people would really think this through, you've got to jockey around a whole bunch of regulations. You are really hostage to a system that is tilted, slanted, and really a bad system, bureaucratic wise and elsewise. So you've got to do things that may not be morally acceptable. Oh, I shouldn't say you have to. That's the more expedient way. So he's got a lot that he has done, Donald Trump has done in his past that certainly, I'm sure he does not want to be brought out. Now, on the other hand, that's the playing field in which she operated. But look at Clinton, her playing field as well. That's pure political evil in my view. So, you know, by comparison, Daniel, I believe that one is by bureaucratic necessity. That's not excusing it, that's just explaining it, difference. And the other is by willful evil in the political arena for the narcissistic, to use your word, as well, psychopathic.
So let me ask
perhaps.
You this, what if you can put two and two together and the United States can put two together and say, well, this, there's no way that we're going to let this lady in. We have to have this guy because he's the only choice. So who is Donald Trump?
But see, to me, Daniel, do you believe that he's not the only choice. She's not the only choice. We had the choice, but see, the silence of the people behind the pulpits and the people, the Christians, when Mike Huckabee was out there saying, hey, I'll close down the abortion mills, the killing mills, we had that opportunity to uplift him and get behind him, but people kept saying the Tavistockian lie that, well, he doesn't have a chance, and heck, you know, he doesn't have a chance. Well, it's because we bought into that lie.
Honestly, he did. But why didn't he have a chance, Doug? They were right. Obviously, in retrospect, they were right. But why? Because he wasn't part of the club.
There you go. There we'll you think. Exactly.
Right after the break, folks, you're listening to Daniel Holdings, danielholdings.com.
Smart guy.
As the Darkness Falls, second edition, just coming out. We'll be right back with Daniel on the other side. Stay with us.
This is the Global Star Radio Network.